will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Rob Artigo here, your guest host for another edition of the Tough Things First podcast with Ray Zinn. I'm a writer and entrepreneur in California. Being invited back, always a pleasure, Ray. How you doing?
It's always enjoyable to do these with you, Rob. Doing great.
And I appreciate it, too. I know you have some appreciation for the theater, and I know you've probably heard the saying, the show must go on. And, of course, that's a reference to, is it stage acting reference? Basically, the show depends on ticket sales. The audience must get the show that they came for. If the star or the key players can't perform because of illness or something else, the show loses money and it fails. So then, you know, it comes the saying, the show must go on. So we know that life can be that way, and business is often that way. The show must go on. I'm not saying, you know, you work when you got the flu at a 102 degree temperature or something like that. You stay home and take care of your health. That's good. And hopefully you have a plan for having people, you know, pick up the slack when you're not around. But I'm talking about, you know, when you are at work, when you are available to do the job, you know, how do you perform at your best when you aren't feeling your best? I mean, when you feel wrecked and tired and you still have to, you know, put up the, you know, the kind of performance in the work, the standards that you live by, you know, they say, I feel like a $1 million. Let's say you feel like $52.95 and you have to perform like $1 million. How do we do that in the work environment?
Well, you know, it goes to the saying also, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And so, you know, I know you're not referring only to people with 102 degree temperature that are still performing their particular show,
right?
Because there are people who do that. I mean, you hear about this all the time, that somebody who had pneumonia or somebody who had some terrific illness or cancer. Look at Rush Limbaugh. I mean, he's continuing to do his daily podcast.
I thought about him when I was writing the intro to this subject. Was I thought about the fact that many years ago I heard Rush say on the air, he goes, well, you know, he goes, I don't always feel like I want to be here, but when the mic goes on, I present the show and I do the same performance no matter what.
Yeah. Well, you know, he recently was diagnosed with lung cancer, in a very advanced stage. And yet he sounds just as normal as he ever does. He's not letting it get him down. And we're all going to face that. It may be an emotional issue, maybe a family problem, maybe a marital problem. It could be a financial problem, could be a health issue, just so many things that can really knock us down. And so, you know, we just have to understand that when the cycle of life turns against us, when we feel at our lowest, that's when we actually need to perform our best. Because you need to come out of that doldrum, you need to come out of that cycle. And we know that our attitude really affects our health, really affects in the way in which we perform. I mean, really, our physical health is affected by that. The more upbeat you are, the more positive you are, the more able you are to overcome some physical ailments. And maybe not all of them, but many physical ailments can be overcome by your attitude. So, you know, it's our attitude that defines our best. If not your best, why not your best? You know, you want to get that ambiance about you that no matter what is going on, you're going to be your best. You're going to do your best. And we know what happens in sports. I mean, we see it, you know, all the time. We're you know, you're not feeling particularly great. Maybe you've got an injury, or maybe you've got a cold, or you know, some other ailment, and yet you still got to perform. You still got to play the game. You're not always going to be able to schedule your best health, your best environment, on the basis of how well you feel. I would definitely say that in my 50 years of experience in business, most of the time, things are going to happen when I'm not feeling good. And I have to be able to deal with them in a very cognitive and professional way. You know, how do you do that? How do you do your best when you're feeling your best? And so what you have to do is compartmentalize the problem. Say why am I not feeling good? What is my issue today? And you compartmentalize it. Maybe you set it aside. If it's a headache, you go take a couple of Advil or something. Or if it's some other emotional problem, like you just left the house in a huff with your family or your wife, and you get to work and you're trying to get that horrible project that you're facing done properly, you have to compartmentalize. You got to separate out the problem you had at home so that you can start that project. And I know it's not easy to do because it's going to be on your mind. So how do you do your best when you don't feel your best? Compartmentalize. You just got to set it aside, recognize the problem, and then move forward. As you say, the show must go on. And so don't let the issue that's causing you to not feel well become the overriding issue that will affect your job performance.
Have you ever had a situation in your life where you weren't feeling 100% and you had to perform at 100%, and then when you were done, you realized that the nature of the problem that you had contributed to maybe some of your best work?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can think about some people who are going through a difficult time. We talked about Rush Limbaugh a minute ago. I think right now he's doing better than he does when he didn't know he had cancer, mm-hmm. as you would. And so we tend to try to overshadow our problem by giving it our all. In other words, you what they call a counter irritant. as they say, your counter irritant means you're gonna do better to overcome that thing that's bothering you. I'm sure you've kind of bit your finger, your knuckle or something at some time when you're mm-hmm. suffering some pain, and that's called a counter irritant. So, I think some of the best work is done when we're not at our best. Stephen Hawkins, who was physically, he was not able to do almost anything.
Right.
And yet some of the greatest achievements in science were done by Stephen Hawkins. I have a friend who's blind. He's been blind. It was an accident. It happened when he was 15 years old. He graduated cum laude from Stanford in law, and runs a successful law practice in Los Angeles, and he's totally blind. So, and he's one of the best lawyers in the area. You don't have to let something like, him losing, he lost his eyesight through an accident, let that ruin your life. He's, as I said, he's one of the best lawyers in the area. Sometimes a physical ailment can actually be to our advantage. When I lost my vision, became legally blind in 1994, I did a better job running the company than I did when I was fully sighted.
I think there are lots of examples that are like that, people compensating. To me, sometimes that whatever that challenge is, it gets you out of yourself instead of thinking in your head and being part. Suddenly you find yourself focused more on the task at hand rather than on maybe some emotional baggage or things in your head or just being too overly self-indulgent. You're suddenly letting your real creativity flow.
Exactly. That's what it does. I mean, we tend to compensate. If you're hard of hearing, you'll just listen more carefully. And so listening more carefully can be an advantage. Not that you're trying to be thoughtful and listening more carefully. You just can't hear, so you tend to focusing on almost every word that person is speaking.
Right.
You're almost like reading their lips, or if you're not fully sighted, you got some vision issues like I do. You tend to store the information better. You tend to remember it better because now you have to rely more on your memory, which will help you out later on in life. Maybe you won't get dementia, you know? So, sometimes a disadvantage, like my case, this handicap that I had, this vision problem, actually became a strength because it has enhanced my memory. We let one thing strengthen us in another area because, you know, that we want that strength to overcome that weakness. And so, I mean, I can name many, 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 many examples of how this has been the case.
I guess if there's a moral of the story here in our particular podcast, this edition of Tough Things First, it's that if you, just because you're facing a challenge, doesn't mean it won't be somehow or another an advantage. Somehow, it doesn't have to be the end of what you're doing. It can be the beginning.
Absolutely. You know, let this be the first day of the rest of your life. You know, don't let your troubles become your burden. And that's the difference. Don't let your troubles become your burden.
Well, Ray, thanks again for another great conversation for Tough Things First. And I want to let the listeners know they can join the conversation at toughthingsfirst.com. They can send in questions there, any comments they might have. You can direct questions to Ray. You can even tell him what kind of podcast topics you'd like to hear on Tough Things First, and he'll make sure that it gets incorporated into the great conversations we have here. Also, follow Ray on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. Thanks again, Ray.
Rob, it's always good to be with you. Hope we get to do another one of these soon.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.